the suffering, and then that perpetuates the past. So the court says, what we want to do on a higher level of consciousness, when you want to move to a higher level of awareness, what you want to do is learn how to step aside so that the healing in the situation can be done for you. So the way that you step aside so that you can have a healing happen in the situation for you is for you to keep one thought in mind. And don't lose sight of that thought, no matter how much you're tempted to lose sight of that thought. No matter how much you're tempted to judge any situation and determine your response by judging the situation, the Course says, focus your mind only on this one thought. I'm not alone. I would not intrude the past upon God. I have invited God, and God is here. I need do nothing except not to interfere. That's the new way. The new way is, instead of me determining my response by judging the situation and then trying to heal it based on something I learned in the past from the world, the new way is for me to keep one thought in mind, no matter how tempted I am to get rid of that thought, which is, I'm not alone. I don't want to intrude my past on God, the Holy Spirit. I have invited God. God is here. I invited Spirit. Spirit is here. I need do nothing except not to interfere, because true empathy is of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the part of us that knows how to heal. And we will learn love's interpretation of empathy and healing if we let God use your capacity to empathize for strength and not for weakness. I want to let the Holy Spirit use my desire to empathize for strength instead of for weakness. Then the Course says, well, Holy Spirit will not desert you. The truth will not desert us, but what we have to be on the lookout for is us deserting the truth. That's what it says right here. God won't desert you. Just be sure that you don't desert God. Love won't desert you, but just be sure you don't desert love. Humility is strength in this sense only. Okay? The Course says that we tend to think of humility as self-debasement. That our idea of humility is, oh, I'm not really that special. I'm not really that powerful. I'm not really that good. Like, I was listening to a record just the other day of a gospel singer, and one of the things that they were saying was, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm just a little scum of the earth, and I'm just so lucky that you were willing to, you know, that in the world, in a fearful mind, you know, humility is putting yourself down. That you wouldn't dare say you are a spectacularly beautiful and a spectacularly powerful being. You're going to say, oh, me, I can't believe, little old me, I can't believe that I have this kind of strength. Well, the Course says humility becomes strength when you say, I recognize and accept the fact that I don't know. True humility is to say, I recognize that I really don't know what to do in this situation, circumstance, or in this perception. And I accept the fact that I don't know, but at the same time, that is accepting and recognizing the fact that God does know. So when I say I do not know, and I do not know, then I'm also simultaneously saying God does know. I don't know, but God knows. I don't know, but love knows. So true humility is to recognize I really don't know everything at this level, but God does. That's true humility. True humility isn't I'm not worthy. True humility is saying, you know, I really realize there may be something I don't know. I really realize there is something that love knows that I don't know. That's true humility. And the Course says you cannot, he says the reason why we're not sure that God will do God's part in our lives is because we've never yet done our part completely. I don't know that the truth works because I've never done my part. I really don't know if this stuff I'm studying works because I don't know my part. It says you are not sure that God will do his part because you've never done yours completely. You cannot know how to respond to what you don't understand. You don't know how to respond to what you don't understand. You can't know how to respond to what you don't understand. So be tempted not in this. Yield not to the ego's triumphant use of empathy for its glory. the triumph of weakness is not what you would offer to a brother, and yet you recognize no triumph but weakness. This is a knowledge, and the form of empathy that would bring this about is so distorted that it would imprison what it would release. The unredeemed cannot redeem. The unhealed cannot heal. The fearful cannot love. Yet we have a redeemer. Don't attempt to teach your inner guide. Don't attempt to teach God. Don't attempt to teach the Holy Spirit. You are the learner. God is the teacher. I am the learner. God is the teacher. So don't confuse your role with God's, because if you confuse your role with God's and you think you are the teacher, you thinking you're the teacher will never bring peace to anyone. You believing that you are the teacher will not bring peace to anyone. Offer your empathy to God, for it is God's perception and God's strength that you would share. And let God offer you his strength and his perception to be shared through you. The meaning of love is lost in any relationship that looks to weakness and hopes to find love there. The power of love, which is love's meaning, lies in the strength of God that hovers over it and blesses it silently by enveloping it in healing wings. Let this be. Don't try to substitute your miracle for this. I have said that if a brother asks a foolish thing of you, to do it. I've told you that if a person asks a foolish thing of you, to do it. But be certain that this does not mean to do a foolish thing that would either hurt him or you. For what would hurt one of you will hurt the other. Foolish requests are foolish merely because foolish requests are requests that conflict, since foolish requests always contain some element of specialness. Only the Holy Spirit, only the God within you, recognizes foolish needs as well as real needs. And your teacher, the Holy Spirit, will teach you how to meet both your foolish needs and your real needs without losing either. You will attempt to meet your foolish needs and your real needs only in secrecy. That means you will think that by meeting the needs of one, you don't jeopardize another, because you keep the needs separate and secret from each other. That is not the way, for it leads not to life and truth. No needs will long be left unmet if you leave your needs all to the Holy Spirit, whose function is to meet them. No needs, no needs, no needs, no needs, no needs will long be left unmet if you leave those needs all to Holy Spirit, whose function is to meet your needs. Meeting your needs, that is the Holy Spirit's function, not yours. The Holy Spirit will not meet your needs secretly, for the Holy Spirit, which is love, the teacher for God within you, the voice for God within you, would share everything you give through him. That's why the Holy Spirit gives it. What you give through the Holy Spirit is for the whole sonship and not part of it. Leave the Holy Spirit his function, for the Holy Spirit will fulfill his function if you but ask the Holy Spirit to enter your relationships and bless your relationships for you. So there is no need that will be left unmet if we would leave our needs to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's function is to meet our needs. That's not our function.